that has spent 50 years in America, came back to Ireland 4 years ago. When I got off the plane at Dublin Airport, I was no biases, no preferences to Irish politics, Irish political parties, or any part of the media. So in 4 years, I've taken a crash course. So forgive me if some of my comments are faulty, but my comments are based on 4 years of observing Irish political parties and the Irish mass media. As Jefferson said, given the choice between a free press and a free government, I would choose any day a free press. I also might add, the only true, free, truthful newspaper is the one you own yourself. Having observed the mass media, by that I would mean the Irish Times, Express, the Irish Times, the Independent, the Examiner, RT, etc., it seems to me that there is no prejudice by design. It seems to me to maybe bias through ignorance or bias through non-professional journalism. And so the motion being bias in the Irish media, my position is it is identical to the US media. If one can argue there is bias in the US media towards Palestine or Israel, from my perception, it logically follows the same is true for Irish media. So my thought would be this. There is no bias by design in the mass media in the Western Hemisphere. What there is a bias towards drumbeats for war. Research done by Harvard University showed that the final 120 days leading up to the invasion of Iraq, there were 187 major media items covering the lead up to the invasion of Iraq. And of those, 179 could only be described as drumbeats for war. Let me jump from that to my closing comment to what's going on in Gainesville, Florida. Because I think to me there's an analogy and something to be learned. There's a gentleman in Gainesville, Florida called Pastor Jones. His congregation is from 20 to 50 parishioners. The whole world today knows about Pastor Jones. Why? Because the media, the mass media in the Western Hemisphere, for the most part, is primarily interested in media that leads because it leads. If no one had paid attention to Pastor Jones, and he burned 100 Qurans, other than damaging the climate, I'm not sure what harm would have been done. The media, the mass media, has created, I would argue, a non-story because it has got drumbeats of war and violence and division and separation in what that horrible man in Gainesville, Florida says he wants to do. We live in a global village. The idea that the media is on my side and against you
or on your side and against me. It's simplistic. And it is demagoguery at its worst, I would argue. It is demagoguery because it's playing on our baser instincts rather than the better angels in our side.
Bob, yes. I'd like to hear what Bob has to say about that particular bias, the drumbeat war. There's another element that if I could just ask as well, because you mentioned the pizzeria bombing earlier. I think that so many of us will remember your coverage of that, and indeed other coverage of that story. And whether perhaps our feeling about that story had to do with the familiarity of it for a Western audience. The sense that this was a place we could be in a pizzeria with our children and imagining our children suddenly rendered into those sort of bodies. So maybe you would answer both those.
Well, look, I'll go through a list of things that briefly, but to the point, I hope. First of all, I think you're absolutely right about war. The problem about covering war is that we in the print media can, and we certainly do in my paper, tell you what it's like. We show you, and if you read what I write and what my colleagues do on some other newspapers, particularly in Europe, not in America, you'll realize what it's like to see bodies in 3 bits and 4 bits. And I can assure you, if you smelt the dead and saw them in the condition that I see them, you would never ever support a war. But of course, on television in particular, television people go along with the idea of war. They like it. That's why you have these sclerotic old generals with their bloodless sandpits showing you where tanks fire and where aircraft manage to shoot at pinpoint bombs. It's not pinpoint at all, civilians get killed as well. And in the same, I remember Al Jazeera crew coming up from Basra 2003, lots of pictures of wounded and dead children and women blown to bits by British artillery fire. The British were besieging Basra at that stage, and listening to the Reuters guy in London who was being satellited out, saying, you know, there's no point in sending any more of this. I mean, we've got to respect the dead. You see, we didn't respect them when they were alive. We didn't respect them when we were blowing them to bits. But after they're dead, we respected them very much indeed and didn't show it. And that's what governments want. They want to present you with clean war, spot on. Journalists like war. I don't mean we like it personally. Television organizations, big media organizations, it increases circulation. There's no doubt about that. And you don't see what a shit war is. We do, of course. Newspapers, you can do it. TV, absolutely not. Although in the Arab world, since we're also talking about the Middle East itself, you will see pictures you will never see on RTE, BBC, or in any newspaper in the West. One or two other things, by the way. The reason that Fox News particularly is promoting our favorite pastor is because it is a right-wing Islamophobic channel, and that's why this is going. It's not just because they want war, though that may be what they get. I want to just broaden a little bit, if I can. I noticed we're coming in with John, the old phrase is anti-Israeli, which equals anti-Semitic, of course, and then pro-Palestinian, which equals pro-Saras. No, but you used the anti-Israeli and pro-Palestinian thing, and we know whether these are code words, and I'm used to them, and I've had them over and over again. And the fact of the matter is, and I reported the North for 5 years. I was on the Times, this is pre-Murdoch, when it was a serious paper, and I was writing about British Army death squads. Nobody accused me of being anti-English or particularly pro-Irish at the time. I was being a reporter. Only when you get to the Middle East are you tarred with the pro-Palestinian or anti-Israeli or whatever. One of the things I'd say is if you want the best reporting on the suffering of the Palestinians, you've got to go to the Israeli press, which I'm surprised you didn't mention. For example, Gideon Levy, particularly Amira Haas, a brilliant journalist. Mother was a Jewish partisan with Tito, captured by the Nazis, survived the camps. Here's a woman who knows everything about Jewish history. She's Jewish, and she writes with immense eloquence, and she writes with a courage that no American reporter would dare show in his reporting of the Middle East. Shame upon the American press. I don't think that there's this sort of, there's no bias by design in the mass media in the Western Hemisphere. There is. American journalism on the Middle East is gutless, cowardly. It has this osmotic, parasitic relationship with power, with what the American president is saying, to misquote Seamus Heaney, it sucks on the hind tit of power, and that's what he enjoys doing, and that's what it's best at doing, doesn't want to lose contact. And also it is a fact that in the United States in particular, I'm going off to California soon because I regularly lecture in the United States, and by the way, more than half the people who organize my lectures are members of the Jewish American community. And in the United States, it's not the Israeli lobby, it is the Likud right-wing lobby, is immensely powerful, especially in Congress. They advertise this fact. AIPAC constantly boasts of this. and it effectively ensures that the US press will never offend Israel, so that any journalist who criticizes, however justifiably, however honorable he may be, he will be referred to as anti-Semite, which is the worst slander, and I think, that anyone can make to an honorable person. I'll make one more point, by the way, when we're talking about words. Ever since, for example, Colin Powell, when he was Secretary of State under George W. Bush, told US diplomats in the Middle East that they were never to refer to the occupied territories, they were referred to the disputed territory. American journalism went along with it. Similarly, the wall has become a fence, something you may have at the bottom of your garden, or a security barrier, which is what the East Germans call the Berlin Wall. By the way, I've just been in Israel, the wall is now longer and taller than the Berlin Wall ever was. Similarly, we have colonists, this is the last colonial war, with colonies expanding, we call them settlements or Jewish neighborhoods in the press, or many journalists do. In this way, we do something which is very lethal. We journalists participate in conflict, because if, you know, you see a Palestinian throwing a stone at a tank or whatever, or a Palestinian suicide bomber, I'm against all violence for any reason ever by anyone against anyone else. But when you see violence, if you think that there's an occupation, that there's a wall built on other people's land, that land is being taken from one person who owns it to someone else who never owned it, then you can see why a Palestinian throws a stone. Wrongly, you may say, if you're against all violence like I am, but you understand. If you think it's about a dispute, something you can solve over a jar or in a court, if it's about a fence which you might or might not have at the bottom of your garden, then obviously anyone who commits a violent act over that is generically violent, and thus the Palestinians are painted as a generically violent people. And this creeps through our Western journalism. I have to say, I think there are wealthy papers in Britain, obviously I include my own, but I say The Guardian as well, FT to some extent, certainly the Irish Times in Ireland, a number of papers, including Le Monde and, although it's right-wing, Figaro in France, report the Middle East with considerable fairness. I don't think the American press do. I don't think it's a question of saying there's nothing deliberate. American journalists know they have to look over their shoulder. One last comment I'd make. I covered the 2006 war in Lebanon, Hezbollah in Israel. And what struck me very much is I was traveling with a very old friend of mine, American journalist, for the Washington Post. And what was very revealing and very humiliating in a sense was that each afternoon, which was morning in Washington, of course, he'd be saying, well, how did we run my story this morning? I'd hear him say, well, you mean you changed the first paragraph? What was the Jerusalem paragraph put in there for? Why was that verb altered? And I sat there thinking, thank God I didn't work for the Washington Post. I'm sorry, I'm trying to show you what it's like to be in the Middle East. I'm not an expert on Irish newspapers, although obviously I do read them, and I have to say, I think the Irish Times, by and large, is pretty good. I think it's very fair, and I think its resident philosopher-in-chief does come up with some very fine arguments. Certainly it provokes the Israeli ambassador to come back with some, I think, rather less good arguments, but at least it gets an argument going.
That's it for the moment. Can't be thinking of all you're speaking of there.
Speaking of language, I did forget to mention earlier that I do have in-laws who are settlers in the disputed territories on the West Bank.
Well, give me that mobile phone. I'll call them on next back.
John, I think you should come back in there on the back. I'm particularly on this language question.
I have to confess my own defense. I apart from reading some comment pieces in the Jerusalem Post and Times, I'm not familiar with it, Robert Sussex, but I would say that I suspect that the closer you are to the story, the more complete your coverage is going to be. I don't see what you're saying there. What I was going to pick you up on was the American media. I'm surprised you didn't mention the CNN lady, who a couple of weeks ago, the CNN lady, whose name I've forgotten again, a terrible name for mice, but she attended the funeral of, I think it was a member of either Hezbollah or Hamas, one or the other, and she made a remark on Twitter, no less, that this particular individual had been a very important figure, or I think she used a positive...
A giant of Hezbollah,
I think was the phrase she used. Now, she lost her job. She lost her job because an American journalist said something positive about a member of Hezbollah. Now, I think that confirms to an extent everything Robert has said. The American media is irredeemably, completely, and wholly one-sided when it comes to the question of Palestine. And there is no point in anybody who's pro-Israeli, or somebody I think pro-Israeli is a stupid term, somebody who sympathizes with the people of Israel in denying that, because it's an absolute factual truth. I dispute, I don't think you're correct that Fox News is whipping up the thing in Florida. I actually think that it's the other media whipping up the thing in Florida because they want to link it to the mosque in New York City and portray this narrative of Islamophobia, which is apparently running rampant on the American right before the midterms. That'll be my explanation. I think it's every bit as valid. Now, on the issue of there being a bias in the American media, then let's look at the Irish media, and it is not good enough to say that because the American media is extremely pro-Israeli, that therefore we have the balance right and that we don't lean a little bit in the other direction. And in terms of the language that is used, Richard made a point of the language earlier on, and it was a valid one about retaliation. However, there is another issue when it comes to language, and it comes to the way people are portrayed in the media. And I want to go back, because the biggest Middle Eastern story of recent times was the flotilla to Gaza. Now, in my view, 99% of people in that flotilla were out to do the very best they could for the people of Gaza. But there were two elements of that story which were completely and totally ignored by the media, as in basically not reported by the Irish media at all. One was that when the aid eventually reached Israel and was taken by the Israelis from the boat and driven to the Gazan border, to the Palestinian border, Hamas refused to let it through. Now, it seems to me at one point, if you're going to say that the Palestinian people are suffering because the Israelis have a blockade and these people are bringing aid to the Palestinian people, and then you neglect to mention the bit of the story, which is when the aid gets to the border, it's blocked, then that you are doing an injustice to your readers. When that aid is not allowed through by the people who are governing the people who are allegedly starving, then I think there has to be an element of rebalancing away from this is all the Israeli government's fault. I know I think the blockade is a stupid idea to begin with, but there's also the element of focusing on the actions of Hamas. And secondly, when it came to the actual boarding itself, the story which was put out the next morning and crystallized very quickly was that Israeli soldiers approached this ship, they boarded it, and they shot people. Now, I'm sorry, and I have to say this, so I know it's probably unpopular in the room, but the videos which were released by the Israeli military the next day, very clear, and people have a confirmation bias, where you don't believe things that come from sources that you don't agree with. So, for example, you see a story from Fox News and you go, that's a right-wing channel, I don't buy that. Or I read a story about Europe in the Irish Times and I think, well, the Irish Times is biased compared to the European Union, so I don't agree with that. I think that tends to happen when you look at a video from the Israeli Defense Forces of what happens when soldiers boarded those ships. I think people have a tendency to go, well, that's an Israeli Defense Forces video, it must be propaganda. Even though it's just a video and you can look at it and you can see what's happening in the video. So I think that's the first thing to say about how people interact with the media, isn't it? But to get beyond that point, what that video showed was Israeli soldiers, A, giving the ship a warning, B, announcing that they were going to board it, C, rappelling down wires, and then being attacked with massive poles and sticks and knives, and people trying to beat the Israeli soldiers to death. Now, I don't think that it is inappropriate in that situation for the media to say, hang on a moment, these guys on this boat, some of whom who have stated that they would love to be martyrs before they ever sailed off,